Building a clock to outlast time. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Deep inside of a mountain, a full day's hike on foot from any road, in a dry, deserted part of West Texas, a foundation, funded by Jeff Bezos, is building a giant clock, hundreds of feet tall. It's been called the Millennium Clock, the 10,000-year clock, or the Clock of the Long Now. Like the pyramids in Egypt, Stonehenge, or the Colosseum, its makers hope it will outlast our civilization, ticking on for the next 10 millennia. It's powered by sunlight, engineered to withstand earthquakes and bad weather, and to maintain its accuracy for thousands of years with basically no maintenance, a feat even the most expensive Swiss watches can't achieve. Alexander Rose is the executive director of the Long Now Foundation, which has been building the roughly $40 million prototype of this clock in Texas. He says it doesn't look anything like the timepieces we're used to. There's no second hand or minute hand or even hour hand, because it's measuring time on a much grander scale.
One of the tricks that we used in terms of the technology here is to just slow things way down. And, you know, the dials on this clock are not, you know, 12-hour dial like a normal clock. These dials are dials that show mostly astronomical effects of stars and where the moon is and the sun and some very slow effects like the precession of the equinoxes, which is the Earth's 23-degree axis swinging around on a cycle that's almost 26,000 years.
I think we're fascinated by monuments from ancient civilizations, sort of trying to tease out what we can learn about the values of that civilization, about the different sort of advancements of that civilization, thinking about the pyramids or Machu Picchu. I mean, how do you imagine people interacting with this clock in the future? And what is it going to tell the next civilization?
For the most part, we try and be very non-prescriptive about what we hope that people will think when they encounter it. I think as you look at some of the oldest monuments in the world, things like the pyramids and Stonehenge and Machu Picchu, as you mentioned, some of them are, you know, kind of easy to understand. Like the pyramids were clearly a tomb. Things like Stonehenge, a little bit less clear. It's almost more like a clock, actually. And Machu Picchu, an ancient, really some kind of temple or city. But none of them were trying to, in some way, say that they cared about the future, at least not the future of all the future generations. They were definitely more about their present. And this clock, you know, has an element of that too. Well, we hope that if somebody finds it in the future, they think that the past generations did care about them and we're sending them a message of that care. But even in the present, that we're having this conversation now, or even if somebody comes and says how the clock may not work, they've already engaged in the kind of long-term thinking that we're hoping that the clock achieves. So it's as much of an idea in the present as it will hopefully be a present for the future.
And why is a clock something to leave to civilization?
Well, you know, it's a project about time, and so a clock is kind of the most obvious choice, and there's all kinds of things that you could do. You know, you could leave some kind of time capsule or a library. There are projects like that. You could, you know, leave the future a bunch of nuclear waste that's going to last for tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of years, which we're already doing in a number of other places. So since the idea here, though, is a project about time and to change the way people think about time in the future that they may be leaving for future descendants, a clock seemed appropriate.
This is a project that many millions of dollars are going toward, to leave something kind of for the future. On one hand, you know, you can think about monuments like the pyramids. On the other hand, it sort of reminds me of Ozymandias, you know, the Shelley poem about this monument to greatness that has decayed into nothing but sand. I mean, do you ever worry about the futility of a project like this?
I think it's, you know, it's always worth being reflective of that. In the case of the way that we're engineering this, decaying into sand itself would be quite difficult. I think it's vastly more likely that, you know, people might decide to destroy it or scrap it for its metal. But our hope is that we're creating, at least, or inspiring possibly, some generations of people that are going to make the world a little bit better in the future rather than worse.
What is the timeline on this? When can we expect the clock to be ready for visitors?
Well, that we don't know. We've been working on it for quite a while. I've been on this project since 1997. There's one of the first prototypes that was finished is at the Science Museum in London. A few more prototypes are in our offices in San Francisco. And in fact, one of the prototypes is just opened with the new Air and Space Museum, the Smithsonian, earlier in October. But the final one, that's the monument scale version, still has a ways to go. But we hope to have it done in some number of years and hopefully be able to open it to the public.
And the idea is that the public would be able to visit at some point?
And that's the plan. It will take some effort. There's a hike up the mountain and go underground and come out at the top of the mountain and hike back down. So it's a pretty big commitment, but yes.
And what do you hope people will take away from that experience?
One is the people that don't even go, but that know that it exists and that it can be used in a way as just kind of a note that our civilization has built something like this, and that if people are working on a project they were thinking would be a year-long project, but really needs to be a much longer one, they can kind of point to this and say, hey, like, you know, these people built this thing. Why don't we make this a 100-year project or something like that? And then the people that visit it, I really hope that the experience somewhat changes them, that we should be able to look forward or at least have some sense of responsibility for the next 10,000 years as well.
Alexander Rose is the executive director of the Long Now Foundation. And now for some related links. If you're having a hard time visualizing this giant clock in a mountain, there's a video of its installation back in 2018 on the Long Now Foundation website. You can also sign up for email updates if you're thinking you might want to make that long journey to see the clock someday when it's finally done. But in the spirit of long-term thinking, there is no completion date scheduled. I mentioned Jeff Bezos is funding this project so far at a tally of $42 million, and not everyone thinks it's the best use of that money. David Karp wrote for Wired in 2020 about what he called the willful blindness of the project and its backers. He draws a connection with another Jeff Bezos preoccupation, his commercial space enterprise, Blue Origin. In both cases, Karp charges, we see the wealthy focusing their energies on some sort of escapist fantasy, rather than contributing to the very real problems we have in the here and now on Earth. Now, Jeff Bezos is just one of a bunch of futurist thinkers from Silicon Valley and beyond who've been working on this clock for decades. In fact, the term, the long now, was coined by the British musician Brian Eno. In an essay, he wrote, "Now is never just a moment. The long now is the recognition that the precise moment you're in grows out of the past and is a seed for the future." Eno is also helping to design the chimes the clock might make as it marks each passing year, which he released on an album back in 2003. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.